Most of you in here are too old to come over to youth group. I have the joy of joining them, and this is what worship is like in youth group. With Andrew playing and Shelby singing and all the other kids joining in, it's just a blessed time. And we have a great time with that. I'm going to ask you to do a favor for me. Dan, just go ahead and roll the tape here, because I want to... one of the blessed ministries that I have here at Faith Church is I go and I visit our shut-ins. And one of the things that we have, and through Greg's help and guidance with that, we have the CDs that go out to them. And they enjoy them so much. They look forward to me bringing them to them. There's a couple that say it helps them with their insomnia. I won't say who that is, but... Brother, we're going to help him sleep this week, right?
Good.
Okay. But what I'd like you to do for me this morning is I'd like you, on the count of three, to say as loud as you can, "We love you," so that they can hear that they are loved by the folks in this church. Okay, would you do that for me? Would you do that for them? Okay, so on the count of three, I'd like you to say, "We love you." Ready? One, two, three.
We love you.
And not only... will that go to our seniors? It'll also go to folks on the internet. So folks on the internet will know that we love them too. So thank you for that, and they'll really enjoy that. I know that Vera will love that, and Blanche will absolutely fall in love with that. So thank you for doing that. If you would, please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 8. It's a wonderful passage of Scripture that talks about God's love for us. And I want to share that with you this morning. Romans chapter 8, we're going to start with verse 28 and go down to verse 39. And in this passage of Scripture, we read these words. It says this: "And we know that in all things God works for good to those who love Him and who are called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those He predestined, He also called. And those He called, He justified. And those He justified, He also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who has raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who will separate us from the love of God? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, 'For your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered.' Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor the present, nor the future, nor any powers, neither height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus." Let's have a word of prayer. Father, as we come to you this morning, we just want you to just help us to understand this concept of, are we good enough for you? Are we good enough for your love? And help us to put that into our own mindsets and help us to live with that and to help others to understand that they can be good enough to be invited in and to ask to come in to the fellowship that God has for them. And we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. When Pastor asked me to take this service, I looked at him and said no. Which is kind of dangerous to say to Pastor. But and then he looked at me strange, which happens a lot sometimes because I am strange. But I said, that's the start of the Final Four, and you know, or March Madness, and you know, I want to be home and watch the game. And again, he looked at me as if, "You heathen, How dare you say such a thing? And I said, I'm kidding. I said, absolutely, I'll help you out with that. So, but when he asked me to do that, I was praying and saying, God, you know, what do you want me to share with your people this morning? And I was working at the hospital, and I had my iPod on, and I was listening to a song. And I don't know how many of you know this artist. His name is Don Francisco. Back in the 1960s, 1970s, a great artist, wonderful music. I'm dating myself here. Everybody's looking at me like, I don't know who this guy is. But he has a song, and it goes like this. He says, I don't care where you've been sleeping. I don't care who's made your bed. I already gave my life to set you free. There's no sin you can imagine that is stronger than my love. And it's all yours if you'll come home again to me. Those are beautiful words. And when I heard those words, I could hear God just saying to me, that's what I want you to talk about. That's what I want you to share. That there is no sin in this world that is greater than God's love. And we're going to look at that this morning. But first, I have a story for you. This was on a blog that I had picked up on the internet. And it's about Mitzi the dog. I don't know how many of you have read it, but a wonderful story. A few days ago, a new pet came into our lives, and I know very little about her. Excuse me for reading it, but it's an amazing story. I could discern from her breed that she was a female and that she had many litters and she was in desperate need of nutrition and attention. From her gray hairs around her muzzle, I'm guessing that she was 6 to 8 years old. I wish she could speak to us and share her tale of woe, maybe explain how she came in her sad condition. When I first spotted Mitzi, her new name, I was surprised to see a dog running along the sidewalk. I parked my van and watched her. She tentatively walked onto someone's porch, sniffed around, went back down the steps. I scanned other porches in the area. No one was out, no one waiting for their dog to return. No one called out for a wayward pet. I stepped out of my van and approached her, speaking gently, hand outstretched with palm up. As she wiggled over to me, I was aghast at her condition. Ribs and spinal column perfectly visible beneath her short hair coat. She was dirty, she stunk, she shivered from the sub-freezing winds. Again, I looked up and down the street and scanned for anyone who might know this dog, and no one was around. I clicked the side door button of my keychain and the van door slid open. I walked toward the van and she followed. I asked, "Do you want to come with me?" She stopped at the door, looked at the van, and looked at me, and made up her mind and jumped in. In that moment, she made a decision to save her life. I closed the door and checked with a few locals. No one knew the dog and from whence she had come. So I got back into the van, and she immediately hopped onto my lap as if to assist me for the short drive home. My girls were excited to see her sweet face. But we all had a cry as we examined her malnourished and mistreated body. They phoned the vet. The girls wrapped her in a blanket and cuddled her in the room away from our pets. I turned on the space heater, and she inched closer and closer to it. And I wondered out loud, how long has it been since she felt warmed? She devoured the dog chow, 2 bowls, and couldn't get enough water, 3 bowls. Mitzi was taken to the vet and was examined. The vet said that Mitzi had a strong heart and clear lungs, and for her size, she should weigh 18 to 20 pounds. The scale in his office read 13.3 pounds. And with 6 weeks of tender, loving care, would put her back in health and weight, and she would be able to tolerate a vaccine. They asked the vet how long it would take a dog to digress into Missy's condition. And they said she probably hadn't been fed for 2 or 3 weeks. It goes on in the story to say that the family took her in and loved her, took care of her, gave her a bath, helped her to get well again. The story touched my heart because I'm a dog person. I love dogs. We have 3 of them in our house. All of them are rescues in one way or another. And it touched my heart for this. But when I read it, I wrote to the individual and I said, can I use this in my sermon? Because it speaks of God's love. God's love for us. I want to show you how I came about that and what that means. But we ask ourselves a question. Am I good enough for God's love? And in accordance to the song that Don Francisco sang, there's no sin you can imagine is stronger than God's love. But am I good enough for God's love? Well, I want to show you in Romans 8, verses 28 through 39, that we are definitely good enough for God's love. Now, our behavior might not be good, but God loves us no matter what. It's like us as parents. No matter what our kids can do, we still love our kids, right? We might not be happy with some of the things they do. We might not be proud of some of the decisions that they have made, but we still love them, don't we? And they are good enough for our love. Well, I believe, and I believe that the Scripture is showing us that we are worthy of God's love because He called us. In the story with Mitzi, the person said, would you like to come with me? She called them, this dog, to come with her. God says to us, would you like to come with me? In our condition, when we came to know Christ as our Savior, we were just as bad as Mitzi. We were malnourished, without the Word of God. We smelled bad. We looked horrible. And God looked at us and said, what? You want to come with me? He calls us. Look at verses 8. Look at verse 28. Says this, but we know that in all things God works for good for those who love Him and who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among the many brothers. And those He predestined, He also called. And those He called, He also justified. And those He justified, He also glorified. Right there in verse 30, it says that who God predestined, He also called. God calls us. He calls out to us and says, do you want to come with me? Yes, you look bad. Yes, you smell bad. But I love you anyways, and I want you to come to me. There's folks in this room who can relate to that and understand what I mean by that. That our lives were horrible before we came to know Christ. And we were in a horrible condition, and God looked at us and said, do you want to come with me? He called us. And it goes on in that passage of Scripture to say, not only did He call us, but He justified us. When God calls us, when God says, do you want to come with me? He also says to us, you know what? If you come with me, and you listen to me, and you receive me as your Savior, I'm going to take all of those sins that you had and I'm going to wash them away. I'm going to make them like they're not even there anymore. That bad stench you have is going to be gone. That ugly appearance you have that makes people turn away and not want to come near you, it's going to be gone. I remember my friend Dale. My friend Dale was 6'4", weighed 300 pounds. Back home where I lived in Punxsutawney. And Dale was, well, he was a drinker and he was a brawler. And he didn't play on the church softball league. But he was a drinker and a brawler. And everybody walked away from Dale. They couldn't stand Dale. And because Dale would just go off on them. And if Dale walked down the street, people would go on the other side of the street away from him. So they wouldn't come in contact with him. One day, his mother-in-law, which was my spiritual mother, spoke to him about Jesus. And Mrs. D was this tall and Dale was this tall. The scripture tells us that when Paul addressed Peter, that he looked at him nose to nose. Well, when Mrs. D looked at Dale, it was more like nose to belly. But she looked at him and she said to him, "You need to get your life straight because you have little boys that need you and need to grow up knowing about Jesus." After many times of her telling him that, he gave his heart to Jesus. Dale would walk down the street and people would walk on the other side like they always did. But this time Dale chased them down. And he would say to them, "I'm different. I might look like the same Dale, but I'm completely different." And he would tell them about Jesus. And he told them how Jesus said to him, "Would you like to come with me?" Because in God's eyes, there was no sin you could imagine that would stop him from loving Dale enough to receive him and to justify him and to wash his sins away. God loves us enough to call us, even though we think we're not good enough for him. Even when we smell bad and we look bad and we're just emaciated, God says, "You want to come with me?" The second thing we find out that we're good enough for God's love is we find in verse 31 where it says this: "What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us?" If God is for us, who can be against us? God provides for us protection in this world. We are good enough for God's love because He provides a protection for us. When we go with God, when we accept His invitation, "Do you want to come with me?" And we give our lives to Him and He justifies us and He takes those sins and He washes them away, then we become part of His family. And I don't know about you, but there is one thing that I will protect more than anything else. It's my family. And I'll be there for them. And I'll encourage them. And I'll help them. And I'll protect them in whatever way I can. And God is the same way with us. We are good enough for God's love because God wants to protect us from this world and from the things that can harm us. And He wants to be there for us and encourage us. The person who found Mitzi wanted to protect her. Saw that she was out in the elements. And it was cold and she was shivering. And she was emaciated. She was malnourished. She was dirty. And they said, "Do you want to come with me?" And God says the same thing to us. When He sees us in our condition and He looks at us and He says, "Do you want to come with me? Because I want to protect you. I want to protect you from these things that's got you to where you are right now and who you are right now. I want to protect you from those things." Now, I've shared my story sometimes, and I want you to know that God has always been there for me in the tough times of my life. And when there's times where I want to go back to the things I used to do, God says to me, "No, you're better than that. You don't need to go there because you got me." And I praise Him for that. So am I good enough for God's love? Well, I believe so because He's called me, and I believe so because He protects me from this world. The next thing that we find in this passage of Scripture is in verse 32 where it says this: "He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also along with Him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charges against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is it that condemns? Jesus Christ, who died, and more than that, He rose to life, is at the right hand of the Father, And he was also interceding for us. We're going to stop right there. God opened the door. In the story of Mitzi, the person opened the door and said, "Do you want to come with me?" In Romans 5, chapter 5 and verse 8, it says this: "But God demonstrated his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners," depending on the translation, it says this: "While we were still sinners, Christ died for the ungodly." Some translations say sinners, whatever translation you have. "But God demonstrated his love for us in this, while we were still sinners, he died for us." While we are in that emaciated, smelly, ugly life that we lived in, Christ died for me. Am I worthy of God's love? You better believe it, because he died for me even before I knew who he was. Even before I was even thought of, he died for me. And here's the great thing. Even when you were living in the life that you were living in, Christ died for you too. And he gave his life for you. Because he loves you that much. And we are that worthy of God's love. We are good enough for God's love because of what he did for us, sending his son to die for our sins. And it goes on in that passage of scripture to say, not only does he love us for dying for us, but he loved us by raising from the dead so that we could be new creatures in Christ. And it goes on even further to say that not only that, but he sits at the right hand of God, which is a place of power and authority, and he intercedes for us. When Satan comes to God and accuses us of something, whatever it may be, God, look at that guy again. Look at what he's doing. He's such an embarrassment to you, God. Why do you put up with him? You just need to kick him to the curb. You just need to get rid of him. When we've got our dog Jasmine, who was a rescue, we had a lot of problems with her because she had anger issues. We had to work through it. She would attack the other dogs, sometimes for no reasons, a lot of times because the dogs were going toward her food. And she became very food aggressive, and we had to work with that. And now she's a very sweet dog. Although there's times where she still goes after the other dogs because they go near her food. But if you come to our house, she'll come to the door, she'll bark at you, because that's her job. But then when she sees that you're okay, she hasn't killed Phil yet, so you know that she's a good dog. But once she sees you're okay, then she'll just let you pet her, and then she'll go off and on her own. But Satan looks there and he says, "God, why do you put up with this person? Why do you put up with their behaviors? Why do you put up with the things that they do? They're such an embarrassment to you." We could have given up on Jasmine a long time ago, but we didn't. We waited and we worked with her and we helped her and encouraged her. And God, or Jesus, sits on the right hand of the Father and says, "But Father, I died for him." He's good enough for your love because you opened the door and said, "Do you want to come with me?" And I died for him, and I raised from the dead so that he can be a new creature in Christ. He's good enough for your love because of that. And aren't you glad that God listens to his son more so than he listens to the devil? Because all of us would be in a little bit of trouble, wouldn't we? God, are we good enough for God's love? I say we are because he has called us, because he protects us, because he sent his son, and because nothing can get in the way of God's love. That song by Don Francisco, it says, there's no sin you can imagine that is stronger than my love. So beautiful words and true words. And if you look at this passage of Scripture, you see in two spots, verse 35 and then back down in verse 37, 38, and 39, we see this. Who shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus? Shall trouble or hardships or persecutions or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. That is a huge list. That is a powerful list. That is a list that shows us that nothing can get in the way of God's love. Has anybody here ever been through troubles and hardships? At the beginning of this passage of Scripture, it says, and we know that in all things God works for good for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. And when we understand what that verse is telling us, is God sometimes allows us to go through some things to strengthen us and to encourage us and to help us, and eventually, sometimes, allow us to minister to somebody else who goes through the exact same thing later. You can't understand what it's like to lose a child unless you've lost a child. You can't understand what it's like to have cancer unless you've had cancer. You can't understand what the battle is like to have alcohol unless you're an alcoholic. And sometimes God allows us to go through those things so that we can minister to those who later on in life, when we run into them, we can say, yeah, I've been there. I know what it's like. I know what you're going through. And the only thing that was able to get me through it is I was good enough for God's love, and God said to me, would you like to come to me? And He opened the door, and He sent His Son to die for me so that I could be His. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Death cannot separate us. Life, angels, demons, things of the past, things of the present, powers. One of the things that tends to separate people from God is their past. They look at their past and they say, I am not good enough for God to love me because of the things I've done in my past. But yet God loves us anyways. You know the story of the prodigal son. When the prodigal son came back and he smelled bad and he looked bad, the father didn't sit on the porch and say, oh, here comes that embarrassment of the son of mine. He got up and he ran to his son and he wrapped his arms around him and he said, welcome home. And there is nothing in this world that we do or that we can do that can separate us from the love of God. Now, I'm not encouraging us to go out and do bad things. Understand that. But there might be somebody in this room today who said, I am not good enough for God's love. That I have to get my life straightened out before I can say, God, I want you in my life. And I remember one time someone saying to me, and I said, how can I answer that question? He said, ask them if they have a bathtub. And I said, what? And he goes, well, ask them if they have a bathtub, and then ask them, do you wash up before you get in the bathtub to take a bath? Or do you wash up before you get in the shower to take a shower? And of course, the answer would be no. And God wants us to come to Him exactly the way we are. And we're good enough for God's love. And He'll take care of those things that are separating us from Him, that are causing problems in our lives. And He'll wash you right there at that place of prayer that you go to when you ask Him to come into your hearts and minds. We are good enough for God's love because God has called us. He's called you. If there's somebody in this room or anybody listening on the CDs, or anybody listening on the internet this morning. And you are saying to yourselves, I am not good enough for God's love. I want you to know you are, because He called you. He's calling you. He's saying, do you want to come with me? He's saying to you, I want you to come to me because I've opened the door and allow you to come in. Or to put it in better terms, I've opened my arms. And I want you to come into these arms that I can wrap around you. Like the Father and the Son in the story. And to show how much He truly does love you. If there's somebody here who's saying, I'm not good enough for God's love, I want you to know you are. Because there isn't anything in this world that can separate us from the love of God. Romans 8, verses 38 and 39 are very clear with that. There isn't anything that can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So if you're here today or you're listening today and you're saying, I'm not good enough for God's love, I want you to know you are. And we're going to give you an invitation this morning. We're going to ask you to come forward. And we're going to ask you to ask God to take you just the way you are. And to take those things that need to be removed from you and just to remove them from you and to so that you can walk out of here a person who is new and fresh, like my friend Dale. But I want you to come as we sing this chorus that we have this morning. It's chorus number 65. The chorus of this verse says simply this: oh, the wonder of it all, the wonder of it all, just to think that God loves me. Oh, the wonder of it all, the wonder of it all, just to think that God loves me. I'm going to ask the pianist to come up. And again, if there's somebody here who has never received Christ as their Savior, and you're saying, I'm not good enough for God's love, I want you to know that God is standing right up here and He's saying to you, do you want to come with me? I've opened my arms. I want you to come to me. I want you to receive this love that I have for you. There might be somebody here who's has a relationship with Christ and you're struggling with some things and you're saying, I'm just not good enough for God right now. I want to invite you to come as well. And to hear God's voice say to you, you are good enough and I want you to come to me and I've opened my arms for you. You come as we sing these verses. And receive that love that God has for you this morning. Father, as we just understand how much that we are good enough for your love. And that you have done everything to prove to us that we are good enough. That you've said to us, do you want to come with me? That you've opened your arms and said, do you want to come to me? That you've shown us that there is nothing that can happen and nothing in this world that can separate us from your love. Why? Because of your Son's death upon the cross. And because of that, we are justified if we come and we ask you into our hearts and minds. That our sins are forgiven. And Father, I pray again for those who are listening on the CDs or on the website, or those that are here this morning, that if you think that you are not good enough for God's love, I want you to reconsider that. I want you to think about that. Pray about it. And we're going to trust you with that. And we're going to know that you're going to do what needs to be done in their hearts and lives. And so, Father, we pray that you will help us to understand and to know that we are good enough for your love. We thank you for your Son dying on the cross and raising from the dead so that we could be justified. And we pray now, Lord, that you'll just take us from this place and help others to know that they are good enough for your love and that nothing that they can do can separate them from your love, but they need to give their lives over to you. And we just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And that's so